Shana Beth and Musa. That makes you more. It's a subtitle. I look a little bit tired. I just came from the plane. Delayed many hours, and, but I didn't want to miss this very important opportunity to spend some time with you. I'm supposed to be at 11 o'clock tonight, in and out. So it's supposed to begin with you, the Shana Bet. We always start with the Bet. That's the highest level, you know. Bet. Torah begins with a Bet. Veracious. You know, Rashi tells us at the beginning of this whole story of Shiduchim, which is actually the Parashat Shavua, right? Parashat Chayisar, we just read. Avraham Avinu is concerned to find the proper marriage partner for Yitzchak Avinu. It seems to me that we have a general principle called Maasei Ava Simu Labanim, which the Tanchuma has in just as about those many words. The Ramban says it's a similar expression. And the Mefarshim point out, Chazal, whatever happened in the parasha of Shiduchim happened to the Bonim. Whatever Rivka did, it was happened again in the Midbar. I'm not going to go into all those details. You look in the Midrashim, you see by yourself. However, in discussing when are you ready to start the date, which is the official topic, when, how do I know when I'm ready to date? Well, it's important that you... first is don't wait too long. That's the first lesson of Parshas Chayisar. You know that Avraham Avinu, a very caring father, Rashi quotes his end of Parshas Vayera. Avraham Maharav Yom Eiloi Bani Shachut Kvar Yeholech Belo Bonim. Had the Akedah really happened, my son would have no children. I should have to find a wedding, a marriage partner for him. Who are we going to find a marriage? What partner? Where, Matt? What partner? Bistro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenol Bar Rivka Bazugo. Well, that's the pasuk says at the end of Vayera. Achad Vrom Eir after the Akedah. You go there. Vrom Eir. Hine Yod HaMilka Gami Bano Nocha Rechicha. Besuel. Yo, Besuel Yod HaS Rivka. So we see from this Rashi that it's important to get married at a proper time, as soon as you're ready. Now, in theory, you can get ready, you can get married at Bar Mitzvah. In theory. I'm not recommending, well, you'll pass Bar Mitzvah anyway now. The Mishnah says, Ben Shmona Esri L'chuppah. I'm sure you all know that Mishnah. We sometimes quip that a fellow is davening a very long Shmona Esri. 10 years later, he's still in the middle of Shmona Esri. But that's not a good situation to be in, although we're not in control. Baruch Hashem, I was blessed with sons, and each one, I make a quip. It says, Koshi Zivugam Kakriyas Yamsuf. You're all familiar with that, Marma Chazal. Perhaps you're familiar with another Marma Chazal. We went through Yamsuf, we didn't just go straight like this. We went like this. And some people had a very short circle, and some had a longer semicircle, and some had a very long semicircle. So I don't know what's happened in my house. Some had a very quick, the guy found the shidduch very quickly, and some not so quickly, and some very not so quickly. That's life. That's how it's Kriyas Yamsuf. Each one has his own personal Kriyas Yamsuf. But when you begin the process is what we're discussing today. So I believe that the answer to this question is very, very personal. No one can say, someone else, you do this or that, the other thing. It's a very personal matter. Fundamentally, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik explained that marriage is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's antidote to existential loneliness. A person feels lonely. Typically, boy is bar mitzvah, doesn't feel so lonely. 18, doesn't feel so lonely. As his friends, you know, in the dorm, in the yeshiva, we don't feel lonely at all. I remember the same conversation that I had. One of my friends got married around, I guess, 21, 2, something like that, and I wasn't even going out. So the boy walks over to me. I'm sitting at this wedding, you know, and the wedding is just winding down. He says, you look, he said in Yiddish, Alein v'yashtein, alone as a stone. You look like you're just all alone. The group is starting to break up. This one's married, this one's married, this one's married, this one's married, you know, and you're still, haven't even started the process yet. I told him, I don't feel that way. I feel okay. But you know, it has to come to this. This you have to do it sometime. There was another quip that we have. When I was 22 plus a large fraction, I had a chavrusa with Rabbi Herschel Shech, the Shlich. He probably was in here. He either was here or will be here. I imagine. So he's the Gedolei Hador, and I used to come to his house every night to learn. That year, it was tough. Shin Lamed, the yeshiva was learning Bava Metzia, Shnayim Ochsen. And Rabbi Shechter knows Kol HaTorah, even when then he knew Kol HaTorah, told a long time ago. But he got to a sugya, you probably won't even get to it, probably skip it. The very end of the first paragraph, the sugya of Shtoros, Shover, and it's so complicated. He said to me, I can't learn now. We have to spend the whole night, instead of, we used to prepare for it in 10 minutes. Had to spend the whole night trying to prepare for the shiur about Shtoros, so we're not going to be able to learn for the next few weeks. So to myself, Kodesh Baruch is sending me a sign. The whole thing is about a sign. The whole Pasha you read in Shabbos is all about a sign. Eliyahu's looking for a sign. I got my sign. So, it wasn't like today. Today everything is so formalized. You have to go to a shatchan. Some of you may know, some of your older brothers or friends, that with the whole rigmarole, with rules. We didn't have any rules. There was a particular young lady that had been recommended by four of my relatives that I should meet her. And I didn't really know. I saw once in the house of one of the relatives. So I did what you can't do anymore. I picked up the phone and called her up. She told me she almost fell down. Well, what's this guy call me about? She knew who I was because I was related to all the people she knew. I said, maybe you should go out. I remember the day I called, it was Rosh Chodesh Adar. I figured myself, that was the Rebbe Shechter said to kill her. I think I put a dime in the payphone in NYU. I can show you. Baruch Shoshlin, Hetzel, Vakal, Mazag. I probably pointed the same phone, although not probably it's a quarter. I don't know if they have any phone. They have the cell phones, but it took away most of the payphones. And Baruch Hashem, I had a very short Kriya Shamsa. It was a first opportunity, first attempt. And Chodesh Baruch said, it's great. So when I told my parents about this, these days parents I was clued in before them. They also knew the family a little bit. My father-in-law was at the yeshiva the same time my father went, and I owned yeshiva back in the 30s. He said, it's the first school. Maybe you should go out to somebody else just to make sure you're not just taking it. But it's okay. It's not necessary. So my father had enough faith in my judgment. Not all parents have that faith. Some of the faith just should be had. Everyone's different. And so, Baruch Hashem, so when we got engaged, which is right after Shavuos, so my mother, when she was saying to her friends, what a wonderful kal I have, this is how she expressed it. Again, in Yiddish, she said, Ehad gut gedavent. The way she described that the successful shidduch was that I davened well. You think about it for a minute. The first shidduch, we read about the first shidduch in the Parashas Chayes, so we just read it. What's the first thing that happens? The very first thing? It's an amazing thing. Well, Eliezer goes on his way. What does he do? Vayomar. Vayomar has a shalshelos. If you have to drop it, very long. Hashem Elokei Adonai Avraham Hakrin Elofonei Hayom. The first thing he does is he davens. And the shalshelos indicates that he davened a long daven. My mother said that when I davened well, when I found the right kala, that's what she meant. Because the Gemara has a Masechta Nedarim, I believe it is. It's a brachas. It's a way in Shas. Al kein yispal kol chosel le'ez mitzo. What's mitzo? Zu isha. Mat isha mat zatov. Yispal. You got a daven for it. You got a daven. Look, Kriya Yamsa, they davened. Didn't they? They all Kriya Hashem. So before embarking on a project which is compared by Chazal to Kriya Yamsa, you have to daven. Sometimes if you're doubtful, should you start going out, should you not go out? Daven. Daven for a sign, daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you an inspiration when it's time, when it's not time. Sometimes a person, aside from his loneliness when the group starts to unravel and everybody starts getting married, your contemporaries, some individuals feel they have to get married younger for other reasons. They have Yetzirah, they have problems controlling of this nature. It's also important to Chazal say don't you dare follow, it's too late for you. They got married at 18, if the guy married at 14, it would have been better. The gross is 14 means in the 14th year, bar mitzvah. But we don't do these things. We have to deal with the Yetzer Hara in teen years, which is difficult. But when you come back from Eretz Yisrael, you'll be Shana Betniks, you have to be 20 years old. So you can start then if you want. The Chazal say if you should get married at 18, if you wait till 20, oy, there's a tipach atzmosim, it's a term. Don't be moved by that Chazal. If you want to, you can, but if you want to stay longer doing whatever you're doing, hopefully going to yeshiva, learning Torah more, pursuing careers, at least initially, it's permissible to postpone going out for another 2 years at least. How do I know? My Seraph. If I didn't go out till 22, how can I preach when I didn't practice? Okay, so I can't say so. On the other hand, to go past 22, I don't know, it's already... both are difficult, because I didn't do it, so I don't know if you're allowed to do it either. It all depends, of course, on your personal circumstances. That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, you can't say a set number. It's impossible to give a set number. Give an approximation. Okay? So now, let us turn our attention to discuss, all right, see a David. The first thing is the David. Hakrein olafone hayom. What a strange phrase. What does hakrein mean? What's it? Give me a translation of hakrein. Give me a translation.
Chance.
It should be a chance. Like almost like a fluke. That's what I was given by the Kliyoka when it's possible. She yazmin lo Hashem nara chashuva. She ain dark alotzeis klal. She never works. She's not a gadabout. She usually stays at home in private. Ulefi shah b'mikre teitze achshav lefonai dafka kadesh lo tiyem en hayatzonios. She shouldn't be a gadabout. What do I get? A funny translation. If you look in Parashas Bereishis on the pasuk of v'chivshua, right? So it's spelled without a vav. Rashi says this is the very beginning in Parashas Bereishis. In English, they said gadabout. He said, we're a lady around the town. You don't want to marry a girl that's always on the town. You want to marry a girl who's more private. The only question is, how are you going to ever meet her? So today, we have Shatchanim, who knows, we have YU Connects. We have Hask. I think Hask is a branch of the Tavari, if I didn't say that. All right, it's a branch. Okay, it's a branch. Baruch Hashem, there are many, many Shiduchei Hask that we're very proud of, thank God. And if you know, my son is a Rav in Hask. Some of you have been there. We've all been there. So you all saw, you know, my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandchildren. So, Baruch Hashem, I feel very comfortable here. In any event, this you have to look for. That's why we all know that you have to look for someone who's a balas chesed. That we all know that's explicit in the psukim. What is not so well known is this idea of looking for the midah of tznius. So you go to Camp Ask, you find almost everyone in Camp Ask is an expert in the midah of chesed. So are you by going to Camp Ask. But the midah of tznius is not always go along to these days as it should with the midah of chesed. I'll explain it to you shortly why the two are really the same thing in principle. Says the Kliyaka, unbelievable. The Kachnema Batorah Besula Ve'ish Lo Yida. You know what Rashi says, Pshat. Rashi says, Pshat. Kedarka, Shalok Kedarka. That's Vayeda Adam Eschavishta. He says, no. No one knew her. Shalohoya Shem Adam Makira. No one knew who this girl Rivka was. Kiloyotas Meolan Kim Pamzeh. No one knew who she was. Now, where was she? At the bear, right? The well. What's the well? The well is what we call it, the pizza shop. That's everybody met. I'm not sure if pizza shop still is the right place. Yeah. Emes to Lemes. Yeah, yeah. No, when I was in, they first started kosher pizza when I was in school way back when, in the Lower East Side, in RJJ, they told you, now I go to pizza shop. It's a hangout. So I didn't go. I was a good student. I didn't go. But I'm told that that's, even to this day, still a place where people meet. She never seen it before in the pizza shop. Al ken hutzrach lishol espia bas mi at. He read it. That's when I said, "Who are you? Who are you?" V'lama lo shal l'shar naras shayu shama. Keep the suffer l'hochal avada. If you meet a girl in Camp Pass, you want to, and she, you know, she sounds like a very good girl. Don't go over and say, "Who are you?" Please, a little dating advice. Don't say, "Who are you?" You ask someone else. Who is she? L'mia narazo, says Boaz said. It's not nice. Who are you? It's very not nice. What else has to do with it? The answer is, he had no choice. He asked everyone in the world, who is she? No one knew. Ish lo yada. No, no alternative. Ish lo yada. He added, lo yikir, no one knew she was. A remarkable interpretation, not like Rashi. That's what the Kliyoka says. Now I might try to prove to you how chesed, which we know is the main theme of the parasha, and snius, which is only beneath the surface, are really fundamentally very, very much related. How are we going to explain this? Eliezer, what does he do? He takes Nezem Zov Beka Mishkolo, Shnei Tzmidim, Asar Zov Mishkolo. So Rashi starts going to town over here. Shikle Yisrael, Shnei Luchos, Seras Adibras. What's this all about? What's all about? Says a Kliyaka something remarkable. Again, Kliyaka. Here's the pshat. He saw in Ruach HaKodesh that the Luchos are going to be broken. Who knows why the first Luchos were broken? Rashi says to us in Pasha's Kisisa. Anyone know? Correct, correct. I'll read it to you what he quotes. Rishonos Shesholta Ayin Hara Fishenitnu Bepumbi V'kole Kolos. Rashi can be found in the Pasuk of Alei Elai HaHara. We say it in Tanasi, but you know the Pasuk. Rashi, the first ones were given B'tshuos V'kilos V'kolos Sholta Ayin Hara. And Rashi concludes Ein Lecha Yofam Enatznius Alei Elai HaHara. The second Dibros were given in private. No one was there. Only by Hashem and Moshe Rabbein. No one else. So the Shkolim protect your Mayan Hara. And he says as follows. Ki kol bal ayin yofa nitzul me'ayin hara. The opposite of ayin hara is ayin yofa. Rami Yosef. Hoya bal ayin yofa. And he was blessed. Ali ayin, oli ayin. No ayin hara. Lo shalta ein abisha. Bizarra shows us. Gemara Brachas. If Yochanan says, Anom is Adi Yosef Lano, Kasina Lazal Marabish. In the Bish. Nothing. Rivka also had Ayin Tova of the Shkolim, no Ayin Hora, and the Chazal of an expression which he quotes, amazing expression. Kala Sheineo Yofa, Eino Tzricha Bedika. What does it mean? She has blue eyes. She's a model. Hollywood. Kala Sheineo Yofa. No. And there Yofa means that she has the meat of tznius and the meat of chesed. These two go together. Gentlemen, you know what an ayin hara is? An ayin hara means if an evil eye, I say bli ayin hara, kinein hara, all kinds of things to avoid an ayin hara. Come on, but it's not based. It's a little defense. It shouldn't see how high your grain is growing. That's ayin hara. What's ayin raw? Different phrase. Who knows what ayin raw means? You maybe had in Baba Metzila and Bekiyas in Baba Metzila? No, only in Bekiyas. Beginning of Elam Metzias. No one's learning that. Third paragraph. Sorry. Okay. If you give 1/50th, that's average. You give 40th, ayin yofa. 60th, you're stingy. Ayin raw. Wait a minute. So ayin raw means you're stingy. Ayin hara means, you know what I mean, they're up there front and center, they're ostentatious, and therefore the Chalila can be destroyed by an ayin hara. Why are those two related to each other? Let's remember. What's the opposite of ayin raw? What's the opposite of ayin hara? Opposite of ayin hara, we just saw sneeze. Opposite of ayin raw is chesed. This means the fact that they're opposites of ayin raw and ayin hara respectively indicates that snias and chesed are very much related. And how are they related? If a person does chesed in order to make headlines in the newspapers, not sure, it's not really a pure motivation. A real chesed is done when no one has to necessarily even find out about it. I'll tell you a story. There was a rabbi named Rabbi Emanuel Rachman. Anybody ever hear his name? No one ever heard of him except for Rabbi Cohen. He was a rabbi in New York City. He had interesting views on many matters. I'll tell you a great story about him. I heard it from my son Simcha, who heard it from Rabbi Rachman's son. In those days, a long time ago, it was considered a very big deal to go to a Yankee game. Apparently, Rabbi took his son to Yankee games today. Someone had season's tickets. He wanted to get once in a while some tickets. But he had, in addition, he used to go to the Bronx, because right near the Yankee Stadium was a senior center, a nursing home. And there were some members of his congregation. He was a rabbi, I think, then, either in the city or in Farakwa, I'm sure one of the two communities. But someone was there from his community. So he went regularly whenever he went to a game. I don't know how often he went. He would go with his son to visit this elderly gentleman from his community. There was a roommate. The roommate was not Jewish. It was sort of a general home. And you know, he'd go to visit his elderly parishioner. And he'd also go say hello to the roommate, you know, to give that roommate a little bit of extra encouragement. Unfortunately, the parishioner passed away. So now, there was no one Jewish in the room. And he decided, we're going to go anyway. We're going to keep going. They kept going as long as that non-Jewish person was alive, since he had a relationship before. He kept going. He told the son, this is my favorite mitzvah. Every other mitzvah that I do, you know, I try not to make much noise, but someone's going to find out about it. You visit someone who's sick, it's part of the Jewish community. You comfort the bereaved. Whatever you do, it's going to get out. This thing will never get out. We're visiting a non-Jewish person, he has no connection to our community. A mitzvah of chesed with no one's ever going to know about. And no one knew about it until after he passed away, when his son was telling my son the story about his father. What do you say about that? That's a real chesed. That's a real chesed. Not for publicity. When Rabbi Rachman was a rabbi in Far Rockaway, he would come home late for Kiddush every week. Because he would not go home until he went to every single almana in his community, and they all missed the fact that the husband would make Kiddush for them. In those days, it wasn't so fashionable for a woman to make Kiddush for herself. No, she's certainly allowed to do it. He made Kiddush for all the Almanas on his way home. People don't know. I know about it from people who are in the know. Not well known. That's true. That's a true chesed. So if you're looking for a fine young lady, whether it be in Camp Haskell or elsewhere, yes, of course the meat of chesed is important. You have to also look for the meat of sneers. When I say sneers, I don't just mean sneers for how the woman dresses. People advise sneers for how long the sleeves are. I'm not belittling that. That's also important. But I mean sneers in demeanor, in attitude. This, to me, is even a more important requirement and a part of the Midah of Chesed that we spoke about earlier. And therefore, we find this theme runs through the entire parsha. The parsha of the first Shidduch. The Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka. Much more to be said about this parsha, but I want to broaden things a little bit. It's important that you recognize that getting married is, relatively speaking, the easy part. Staying married, especially in today's world, that's another endeavor completely. Unfortunately, in today's world, not everyone is zeicha to that bracha. Illustrate how important it is to work on marriage. It's not enough to get married. To work on marriage, I want to read you a Rashi in the Pasha before, from Pasha's Vayera. Once again, the idea of tznius is emphasized when the angels ask Avraham Avinu, Aye Sarai Shtecha, and he answers, Hine Ba'ohel, behold, she's in the tent. Rashi adds two words, Tznuahi. Tznuahi. They understand what's going on over here. Sarah Maina was not some kind of lady who just did nothing, sat in the house all day. Sarah Megayera is a Sanoshin. Somebody said she ran NCSY. I don't even know how I want to say it. But none, despite the fact that she had made a career of Kiruv, she still was Ba'ol and she was Tsunui as appropriate. But look at this now. Rashi says earlier, according to the Gemara Bava Metzia, again, you're like Bava Metzia, have you gotten to Pei Zayin yet? Maybe you'll get there. Yodim hayu malachi asharis sorry menu hechana. She didn't know where she was. Elodia shetznu aisa v'elchabava al balo. To make her more beloved to her husband, then when he answers, she's a tznua. So we'll make a good marriage, as we say today, make a good marriage better. Question. How long were Avram and Sarah married at this point in time?
Long time.
Let's first start. How old was Avram Avinu at this point in time?
99.
99. How old was Avram Avinu when he got married? For many, many, many years, I had no clue. There's no midrashim. No, to my knowledge, there's no midrash anywhere about it. Rebbe knows. Yeah, Barbanel says in two places. The Talmud told me this. He was 40 years old. Just as we read this, we read again tomorrow morning. We already had a time that Yitzchak was 40 years old when he got married. So too, Avraham Avinu was also 40 years old when he got married. Make a cheshbon. But he's married for 59 years. 59 years. He's 99. And it's still to make a good marriage better. So remember, for the first 59 years of your marriage, you've got to keep working on it. After that, maybe you can coast a little bit. Maybe. You have a riot from Avraham Avinu. It's also interesting to note, and this is very, very important, because we're talking about marriage. And this, if you look at some of the beautiful Musas from, it says Shana Ben and Musa, two of the great Mashkichim of the last generation, Rabbi Volbe, Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Friedlander, Zichron Levracha, the Mashkichim in Be'er Yaakov, and Ponovich, have contraced in a little pamphlet about getting married. And they both warn us, don't think your wife is a chavrusa. They told primarily yeshiva brachim, the traditional yeshiva shemold, their whole life was chavrusas. Your wife's not a chavrusa. Different relationship completely. Keep that in mind. But it's much more than that. You have to understand that a woman has a different nature than a man does. Al todnes chavrecha should heal them komo, and you will never, ever be able to be bekomo of a woman, because you're a man. It's two different types of people. In Bereishis we read, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer Kenegdo means that you may be in a position one day in your professional life, community life, that you're maybe, you know, some big wheel. People maybe not going to correct you if you make a mistake because they don't want to start up with you. Your wife, she's the one. She is the one to put you in your place. It's a misconnected. She has to help you, Azer. When you make a wrong move, she's the connector to set you on the right path. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if there's a Nitziv in this room, or HaMekdover. Probably not. I'll say it Baal Peh. Not necessary. In the end of last week's Pasha, Vatisa Rivka Seinel, Vateres Yitzchok, Vatipo Me'al HaGomel. She fell off the camel. She was so in awe of this holy man, she fell off the camel. Amazing. The Nitziv tells us that this Pasuk, thank you so much, this Pasuk, Perek Chav Dalet in Bereishis, Pasuk, Samach Dalet, is the precursor of the entire marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. Meirov Pachad Ve'emo. Next Pasuk, Vatiskas. Meirov Pachad Ubusha. Kimo Shemevina She'ena Ruhuya Lios Lolisha. She's not worthy to be his wife. She was scared of him. consciousness now. Below Esau, Yim Yitzchak, Kamo Sarah, Avraham, Baruch Elam Yaakov. You read the Rat Sarah. She told her husband off more than once. Asher Biyosam, Ezek Peda, Aleem, Oshinu Dea, Lo Boshu Ladabe Reses Lefnaim. They told him off, as opposed to Rivka. And that's why Rivka and Yitzchak had disagreements about raising their children. Rivka didn't have the heart to tell Yitzchak what she felt. She knew that Esav was no good, but the brachas, all from HaKadosh Baruch, the brachas come to Yaakov Avinu, the funny way we're reading this week's parasha. Had Rivka been a wife, as Sarah and Rachel were, never would have happened. She would have told Yitzchak, you're crazy. Give the brachas to Yaakov. But she was afraid to tell. Afraid to tell. Think about that. Amazing, that's it. So when your wife tells you off, don't get upset. Say, Baruch Hashem. A wife who has a proper relationship with me, if I make a mistake, she puts me in my place, and she says, don't do this. Everyone else afraid to tell you you're making a mistake. I'm telling you you're making a mistake. A is a connector. She stands in your way to protect you from making a mistake. This is throughout Tanakh. I mean, the famous Rashi, Own Bet Pelas Ishto Itziloso. She was about to go into the whole parsha of Korach, where there was Dosan Aviram, and his wife saved him. There are many, many times that a woman saved a husband who was about to go into a bad situation. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, marriage is the antidote to loneliness, as my Rabbi taught us. Marriage is also an antidote to arrogance. You maybe feel you can lord it over, but you can't lord it over your own wife. Forget about it. Don't even try. It is true that in Talmudic times there was a concept, according to some Rishonim anyway, of Emas Bala Oleho. It's a Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Tezvov, the end. Today, as the poskim say, ready to go back to the Rishonim, Anakim Aram Psochim, Noshim Shalonu Kulon Chashuvos. Chashuvos means there's no Emah. Don't try to invoke any of these Mabori Chazal to your wife, but you're supposed to be afraid of me. Forget it. Noshim Kulon Chashuvos, and therefore it's a different relationship as it used to exist in the old days. Make sure that you fulfill my Mechazal. Ha'oev is Ishto Kegufo. You have to love your wife as you love yourself. Not more, only because it's impossible to expect of a person to love someone more than himself. You can't expect them. That means if there's a certain amount of money, you buy her a new dress and you wear the old suit. This is very, very, very important. You have to realize this. And you have to understand that you have to be patient. And you also have to understand that women are not made the same as men. You know, the hukah chos and yotze michupaso. We say it every Shabbos. The pasuk can tell me first to the sun. Sounds like a chos. It's a chos like the sun. The sun is always a full sun. Always, you know, every day it's a strong sun. That's a chos. He has to be the rock for the first wife. The wife, on the other hand, is like the moon. The expression is shame be the levana, as beautiful as the moon. A beautiful expression, but the moon also waxes and wanes. The moon has a monthly cycle. The moon also has a monthly cycle. And therefore, their mood swings and mood changes. You know, sometimes they're a defense attorney trying to get a woman off the hook for murder because she had PMS, which is a premenstrual syndrome. So, you know, that's an amazing defense. I don't think it's going to work too well, but some have tried it. The Rambam gives us a beautiful formula for marriage, as I mentioned before, in Perek Tezvav and Hilchos Ishus, and the two strikingly different pieces of advice for men and for women. Chachamim say, "Adam mechaber es ishto yosem migufo v'ovek kagufo." You have money, make sure ma'aber betovos kifi amav. If one day you strike it rich, make sure that you spend money on it. I was at a Shavuot Brachos a couple of weeks ago, and the grandfather of the girl said, you know, in America we call it Shalom Bayis, but in Eretz Yisrael they pronounce it better. You want Shalom? buy it. The Ramba. Shalom, buy it. The Ramba. Ma'aba betavaska fi amamam. Falo yatil olea ema yaseira. Ramba conceives a little bit of ema, the Gemara, but we say that even a little ema is no good anymore. Talk to it nicely and quietly. Don't know if you raise your voice. Chas v'shalom. You're not allowed to be sad or angry. Don't be angry at her or sad at her. If a guy walks in from work and a bad day in the office and he's sad or he's angry and he walks in and dumps it on his wife in sadness and anger, what's her fault? Piece of advice. In a bad day in the office, you're really... You're about to come to the front door. Watch. Plant a smile on your face. Hi, honey. Whatever you want to call. How was your day? Yeah, it was a good day. Yeah, good day. I'm going to have to lie, mamish, but yeah, it's okay. Why should you dump on her? Or your problems that the boss yelled at you, or you were given a demotion, or who knows what in the world happens in the office, and politics, or everywhere you go. Not an issue. Don't have to tell her. He says, so I'm giving you advice right now. Right now, you're still single. You're not going out yet. Get rid of all your sadness and your anger now. Get it out of your system. I'm not saying you should have even any of it, but if you have it, get it out now. Once you're married, you know how to do it. That's as far as the man. The woman, mechabedes es bala b'yosu midai v'yielo aleha mora. Again, this idea of reverence or even fear. My view is this is not an obligation. It's only a piece of advice which existed in those days. Today, Nosha Vachashuvas, it's a little bit out of place. Tazakol Maseho Alpiv, but she should try to do what he wants. Yebenekim Osaro Melech. He should be in her eyes like a prince or a king. So you see what's happening over here. The woman never said she can't be sad or she can't be angry. Only the man. Because a woman, given her makeup, is going to be one day that is going to be sad or angry down the road. It's impossible. Hashem has asked people they can't do. A very distinguished Rosh Hashiva told me that he was once a very newly married man, met Rab David Lifshitz, one of the great rabbis of our yeshiva. And Mazel Tov, you married him. And he told the three words in Yiddish. Zivet Veinin. She will cry. His wife's a very cool wife and very, you know, self-assured and relaxed. What do you mean? But he said, a while later, whatever, pregnancy, after childbirth, and other thing. So she was, even a chilled rebbitzin, as they call it today. Someone's going to cry. To Gemara. Dimasa Mitsuya. Onasa Krova. Again, above a Mitsuya. You get to that in your Bekis? I already called three Gemara's Baba Metzia. No one got there yet. Okay, maybe we'll try. Still have a few more minutes for another one. Okay, maybe. So that's the way it is. Rabbi David was telling him, don't be surprised, don't be disappointed. Have us say the best of them. Should be Zolche if you can. To have what we call today, and I'm getting these some of the expression, I'm not sure if it's still current. A Rebbitzin, a wife, who's what we call today low maintenance. It's probably me, I know how to turn my machine off. Please forgive me. So what it means is enabling you, obviously you're going to be very much busy with the things that you do, which are very, very important, and your wife shouldn't try to monopolize your time. Never says here she should monopolize his time. To the contrary, she should support what he's doing. When they are interacting with each other, then he has to love her and honor her. And he shouldn't be scared of her. She shouldn't be scared of him. She talks softly. She shouldn't be sad. She shouldn't be. Doesn't he spend all day together? You're busy, and she's busy. But the tziv has a vart in the Shir HaShirim. Hasebi einayich minegdi. It's pasuk in Shir HaShirim. So the tziv says, I'll just, in my words. There's a girl, she's in love with the... It's a mashal about Hashem and Klal Yisrael, but the mashal is about a wife and a husband. This wife is gaga about her husband. She just can't get enough of him. She's looking, just staring at him. Can't take her eyes off. Can't take her eyes off. Make put on vibrate out there. Yeah. Can't take her eyes off. So he says to her, he says in the Siv, stop looking at me. Now, just forgive me for the expression. Go do the laundry. Cook dinner. You look at me all day. You're not going to get done. So Hashem says to us, don't just contemplate about God. Put on tefillin, say Birchas Hamazon, Davar Ma'ariv. It's not just, don't just look. It's a Netziv. So she's busy in the house, and you're busy at work or learning or whatever you're doing. You're not going to spend all your time together. That's not appropriate. Enough time, but not more than that. That's, again, everyone has their own marriage relationship. I have to tell you that we read in this week's Parsha, again, not the first time, about infertility. Lengthy infertility. I said before, for Avraham, it was 59 years of infertility. By Rivka, 19 years plus infertility. These are horrific. You can't even imagine how horrific this is. It's true that most women don't have this problem. Everyone says so. It's true to this day. But it's an important point to realize. When a couple gets married, the first line in Shulchan Aruch, Ebenezer says, Chayev Adam Lisa Isha, Kedei Lifos Filirvos, in order to have children. And as a rule, I believe very strongly that a couple, when they get married, should attempt, with Hashem's help, to start a family immediately. Doesn't always work that way. Very often doesn't happen the first year, for whatever reasons. You know, just, and if a full year goes by and nothing happens, I think it's okay to seek medical help, just, you know, a basic workup, etc. But I'm opposed to couples upon marriage just postponing starting a family for whatever reason. Money, careers. I'll say it my way. If you're going to wait till you can afford a child, you'll never have one. Never afford a child. A child costs you $1 million. The yeshiva tuition. Who can afford a child? Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you enough somehow or other. That's our attitude. And we said before, when are you ready to start dating? You're not ready to start dating until you're ready to get married. Otherwise, it's just playing around, and I'm not in favor of playing around. And if you're ready to get married, you're ready to have children. I think it's something important. Where would the money come from? Don't worry. There are family members. It works its way out. I do believe, for full disclosure, that the couple is blessed with a child. They want to have what they call spacing. They want to postpone having a second one while the one woman recovers, as long as that takes. I'm a very big liberal. But to postpone having children at the beginning, who says you'll be able to have children? First place. It's a little bit gaiva, you know? We'll stall off, and then whenever 2 years down the road, now we'll try to have children. And what if it doesn't work? So you kill the two most important years of your marriage, because the single most important criterion for having children is the age of the woman. The younger she is, the better off it is. Tell your facts. Check it out. This is very, very important. Want to talk about marriage? Let's talk about another problem of marriage. Money. Money seems to always be a problem. And sometimes there are fights between us and wife about money. Boys in my Shia know there's a very simple solution to this problem. If you listen to me, you'll be happy for the rest of your life. Only has 6 words. It's easier to memorize. 6 words are, he earns it, she spends it. It's so neat and easy. It's never a problem. Now, if your wife presumably is capable enough to run the books, I don't know. My wife runs all the accounts. I don't know what's going on. That's all. That's the way that it should be done. The chatchila. She may ask you, should we do this? Shouldn't we do it? Of course, you have to. Whenever she asks you a question, you have to pay attention to it. Don't say, as I used to say at the beginning, do whatever you want. I thought I was being a good husband. Do whatever you want. Could be better than that. Do whatever you want. It could be a better husband than that. So I play. I learned these Muslims from. I said that's not the right answer. Because if she has a decision she wants to make, she wants your input. She may ignore it completely. She'll say, you know, should I put the couch here and the desk there and the piano there? Or the other way, three different permutations. What should I do? I said, do whatever you want. Mistake. Give an opinion. She'll likely go against you, but it doesn't matter. But it shows you have an opinion. That what bothers her bothers you. That's a general rule in marriage. What bothers her bothers you. You know, Rabbi Levine lived in this holy city. And he was the same story. He went to a doctor because his wife wasn't had a problem with the foot. So the doctor asked the Rebbe, what's the problem over here? And he answered in three words. Haregel shelanu koevet. Our foot hurts. Our foot hurts. Yeah. If the rabbi's foot hurts, his foot hurts. Whatever bothers her bothers you. This is extraordinarily important. You know, Chazal say that one of the obligations of a husband to a wife is refuah. If she gets sick, you have to try to do your best to make sure she has good medical attention. The poskim say, do it yourself. If you can't take it to the doctor, don't just say, oh, you go to the doctor, good, yeah. Take a cab. Sometimes you can't help it. But if there's something which is an important matter, you go with her, you're kind of the midst of taking care of your wife in a proper fashion. This is very, very important to understand. Another problem with marriage, which again relates to dating, is parents. Rambam writes in Yoredeya that a man is not required to listen to his father, who tells him not to marry particularly young lady. Comes from a Jewish Maharik. It's not an absolute rule. It's not. Pshat and Amarik, as the Chazdish explains, is that the father has no business butting into his son's life in such a matter, and therefore is required to be mevatel ritzono for the ritzon of his son, unless there's a very good reason why he's saying, don't marry this girl. The girl's not for you. Then you have to listen to your father. But how do you know if the father's request is reasonable or not? So I'll ask you a question. Whenever you have a child, what do you do? What do you go to? Have a lach question to go to? The Rebbe. Obviously, a child, go to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says your father's request is unreasonable. Not required to listen. He says it's reasonable. You have to listen. Suppose you go to your, I want to marry this girl. Why? She's beautiful. She has blonde hair and blue eyes. And what does she do? Well, she's a bar lady or something like that. You know, she's hanging out in the bar. She's Jewish, yeah, 100% born from mother's Jewish. Suppose you're out of your mind. Sorry, the Maharik says, I don't listen to you. Go to Rabbi Korn, he'll say, you better listen to your father. Father's making a very important request, you have to listen to him. But if he says, don't marry, you know why? Well, the father's a Rebbe in the yeshiva, has no money, and I want to marry a rich girl. Go to Rabbi Korn. Rabbi Korn will say, you don't listen to your father. I'm putting words to his mouth. I'm trying to make things work out with families, you know, when we never like to have problems. Sometimes a father says, this girl is not for my son. My son, he's so great. This girl is not so great. More often than not, the son is not what the father cracks him up to be. It's a very good shidduch. Those talk are not so great, nor is the boy. It's a perfect shidduch. But people see the flaws in their future daughters-in-law, not in their own son. I'm in the middle of this more than once. Very, very sad problems we have sometimes. But once they are married, parents should do their best to butt out. What certainly should be said is that parents cannot criticize a child-in-law to their child in either direction. It's not acceptable. If it happens to you, you say, well, Rabbi Willick said, I'm not allowed to listen to this criticism. Not allowed. Not allowed. You can't do it. Because the husband-wife team is inviolate. No one gets in there. You know, I have plenty of critics, Baruch Hashem, for all kinds of different things. Yeah, go right. If someone criticizes my wife, oh, in the doghouse. Don't creep out so fast. I think it's true vice versa as well. You have to be protective of family members more than yourself, and the wife more than anyone else, or husband. Sometimes parents don't learn this lesson. It's a pasuk. Al ken yazov ish es aviv yes imo v'davak b'yishto. More than that, Chazal say ish imo v'yoviv tiro. Ish and not isha, because once she gets married, v'shus acherim oleo. Because she's married, she can no longer do what she did before in obeying her father. Lefiani yazdaiti. The same is true of the man once he's married in circumstances where he'll listen to his parents and have a shalom bias problem. Just don't listen. I tell parents that the two things you should never touch. Why do I say these two things? Because I've been involved in so many silly disputes over these things. One, don't ever tell your children how to name their children. You had a chance with your own children, that's their chance. Too many cases, how you have to name him Yitzchak, you have to name him Yaakov. You know, this is my father, this is my father. Crazy. Crazy. What's the poor guy going to do? Second, don't ever tell your kids where they have to be for Yontif. Pesach, Sukkot, or Shana. What are you kidding? Let them do what they want. They're old enough to be married. Let them decide, I don't know, where they want to come. You know, my kids always know, they still know that if they want to come, they can come. They don't never have to come. It's not fair to put any pressure on youngsters. I'm just giving these as examples. Finally, I'd like to end on time. As a psak from Rabbi Pam Zichrona Levroch. It's printed in one of the books. Bias them of Israel, one of those things in his name. Tell every chosn and kala, if there's a problem in their marriage, don't let it fester. Once it reaches above a certain level, seek out your local rav. He may send you to a professional, psychologist, marriage counselor, whatever it may be, to put things back together. I've been involved in many such cases where, thank God, problems were solved and ironed out. It's sure a little bit on the rocks were put back together, Baruch Hashem. First, they had faith in me. Patience, patience, and more patience. I repeat again, patience, patience, and more patience. It's true in marriage, it's true in raising children. But don't go to your parents. They don't know how to handle it. If there's a marriage problem between two youngsters, and one goes back to his or her parents, they can't handle it. They right away they take sides, and my side is right, and your side is wrong. Or the other way around once in a while. And they don't know what they're doing. They're not professionals. Again, we spent some time learning together about when a person's ready to date. We said it's a personal decision. Each and every one of you has to make the decision personally. We gave a couple of guidelines, but they're not precise. You have to know when you're ready. And once you're ready, you have to know what to look for. You have to dive in. Remember that? That's a prerequisite. Look for chesed. Look for tznius, not just in dress, but in demeanor, even more importantly. Look for good midos in general. We'll end with the Ran. The Ran says the reason Eliezer was sent far away, even though there was Avodah Zarah here and Avodah Zarah there, because the midos were better far away. The Ran writes famously in the Drasha, theology can be programmed and reprogrammed and deprogrammed with relative ease. Midas, very hard to fix Midas. You have to start working on your Midas right now. Don't wait till you're going out. Now start working on it. Because then ask, well, what's good? What should I ask for in the boy? The same exact things as a boy and a girl. Chesed and sneeze. Got to work on it right now. I'll give you all a bracha. You should all start at the right time. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu should make your personal Kriyas Yamsuf an experience that you can handle, and it should lead you to the bracha, which is the first line of the Shulchan Aruch of Lifros for Livros, of having families. As we often say to a chasn and kala, the ish v'isha, as the Gemara in Sota, Zochu Shchina Shruya Beinayim to build a bias Nama B'Yisrael. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.